here this morning, go ahead and get your Bibles or your bulletins, either one. Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 40. I hope you're awake this morning. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to do something a little bit different. I know, that's the Baptist sin, right? Do something different. But it'll be all right. It'll be okay. We're going to do some responsive reading this morning. We're going to have you read with me, okay? And we don't have it highlighted. In the future, I think we'll highlight the verses so that we can do this. There's 9 verses here, but I'll read the first verse, and you all together read the second verse. I'll sort of get you started, and then so on and so forth, and we'll just go right on to the end, alternating back and forth. How many of you have ever been in a congregation and did responsive reading like this? Okay, so we got a lot of old pros in here. How many have never done that before? All right, so we've got some new ones. Well, this will be good. This will be a good experience for all of us. And Pastor and I were talking about this just the other day and thought this might be a good thing to bring back into our services, given the Word of God the priority, but also involving and getting participating in what we're doing. I know he's all the way in the back. I'm going to ask Brother Dale if you'll make your way up this way. You'll have a moment as we do the reading to begin us in prayer this morning. But I'll begin at verse 32, and then you'll respond in verse 33 and so on. And what shall I say more, or what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. By faith, through faith, active, working, functioning, making an impact. That is the faith once delivered to the saints. That's the faith working through the saints. And I trust that that will be our story this morning. And as we engage in worshiping together this morning, I trust that that will be your cry, that your desire. Brother Dale, if you'll come, open us in prayer, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word, the chance we have to read your word, and just the reading of your word out loud this morning to help it to sink into our hearts better. Father, we just pray that you'd be with the service today. Pray that you'd be with the song service and watch over the preacher as he preaches. You'd give him the words to say that we need. Father, we just pray that you would touch every heart today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, would you take your hymn books, please, and turn to page 336. Let's stand as we sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins." 336.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plucked beneath that blood. Lose all their guilty stains.
This morning, the folks we're going to introduce have served the Lord in 29 countries, ministering with music the gospel of Jesus Christ, over 4,000 performances, and we use that word loosely there. They minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you welcome to Volusia County Baptist Church Edward and Christine Clausen? God bless you. Amen.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? Yes, it's beautiful. Not because I play it. I think it's beautiful because God has given us wonderful music. God has given all of us wonderful gifts to praise His name. I had never dreamt in my life that one day I would be in Florida, United States, harping around for fancy people like you. Thank you, Pastor, for having us here. Brothers and sisters, I was born and raised in a little mud house 1,200 miles south of the Amazon River. I was raised among seven wild Indian tribes. I never saw a pavement road till I was 15 years old. We never saw a car. We never heard music till later in my life. We were all colony Mennonites, horse and buggy people, who had isolated himself from the rest of the world, 320 miles away from the nearest city. One day, some fancy missionaries came to my mud house. In my church on a Sunday morning, Pastor, when I look around here, when I see a choir like that, when I see an orchestra like that, a grand piano in a church, amen. Wow. In my church, when I grew up, we were not allowed to sing harmony. It was sin to play an instrument in church. In my church, woman on that side, man on that side. Usually all of us sitting like this. Waiting till the pastor finally would say the best sentence. Amen. So that the young people could walk out to church and smoke our cigarettes. We were religious people. We didn't know Jesus as Savior. One day, missionaries came, stood behind the pulpit, and these people came from your country. They had a nice smile, nice clothes. They told us young people that church membership wasn't the highway to heaven, that only through Jesus you make it up there. And they also told us young people that we had a gift from God, that we should use it before we die. Here I am, as a product of mission work you people did. I received it with my five younger brothers and my mom and dad in the jungles of South America. Today, my whole family still lives there. All six of us brothers, including my parents, today are born again Christians on fire for Jesus. Amen. Actually, my mom has become so modern in Paraguay, she has a perm and a Toyota Corolla. The only problem my mom has with a car, she doesn't know how to drive it. My dad passed away 10 years ago. So thank you so much for having us here this morning. This is just a few seconds I was allowed to say because you want to hear the pastor speak. And we really appreciate you having us here. So we will do one more song. If you thought that harp music would be really boring, this song, the first song, you can have a little nap. Just kidding.
You like that? All right, we're going to hear some more in a little while. And
then they're going to be back, I believe it's the 18th of next month. And then next month starts tomorrow, doesn't it? And so next month on the 18th on Thursday night, they're going to be back for an entire concert on Thursday night. And so tell your folks about it. Tell people about it. All right, you like that? Okay. See how you like this? Tickets are $25 each. No, it's going to be just like this morning. And but we will receive an offering for them on that night. But what a delight. What a delight. And I appreciate their spirit and attitude and that they've come to be with us. I'm so glad we got to meet these folks, although this first time we've met them personally is today. It's certainly glad to meet them through their music. Really on YouTube is where I discovered it. And then I got a mailing. I think I got a mailing from you guys, Christina, and said, we need to do this. We need to do this. And good to have them here. Well, visitors, good to have you here today. And you just never know when you show up at Volusia County Baptist Church what wonderful things are going to happen and what blessings are going to be here. If you have your bulletin, visitors especially, I want you to open it on the inside. Open that little flap out, if you will. And if you, where it says welcome visitors there, if you will fill that out, drop it back in the offering. Just tear it off, put it in the offering as the offering plate comes by. Give us as much information about yourself as you're comfortable doing. And we'd certainly like to know you, meet you, write you a letter. If you'd like to, after service, just keep that and bring it by the reception area right out these doors and to the right. We'd love to have you come by, have a bite of refreshment, meet the pastor and staff and other folks that just sort of wander in and see what's available on that particular day. We would just love to have you come by and say hey to us. And we'd like to meet and tell you how glad we are to have you here. If you'll do that, we'd appreciate that so very, very much. Last Sunday, I put a word in the bulletin about last Sunday, about the faith promise. Absolutely marvelous, wonderful week last week with the missions conference. And isn't that refreshing to hear a gentleman here today playing a harp for us that's a product of mission work? Now, I'm going to take a minute and talk to you about what was presented in this service last Sunday morning. Unreached people groups. I spent a long time last evening, and I've spent a lot of time this week looking for unreached people groups. And I must tell you, McDonald's is everywhere. And Coke is everywhere. And cell phones are everywhere. It's absolutely amazing. And I got to thinking, one of the most unreached people groups, any that I know about, is where one of our kids is right now. One of our kids is in Papua New Guinea, and she is in a group that has no Bible. They have no portion of the Word of God translated into their language. I spent a long time talking to Mark Fleming last night about Cassie and about where she is and about what we can do to help in that ministry of getting the Word of God in that language that has no portion of the Word of God translated into that language. So I don't know. I just want you to pray about that. Pray for Cassie. Pray for God's leadership and where exactly she wants to, the Lord would have her minister. And she's living in something like what you described, Edward. And she's living in something like that. And it's a different culture, of course. There was a person in the community who was guilty of a sin of immorality. Now, the way they deal with it is they burned his house down. And so, you know, that's a little different. And she was very thankful the wind was blowing the other direction. I think God took care of that so that it didn't burn down the place where she's living, because it would have, because it's right next door. Be much in prayer for Cassie, as well as all of our missionaries. And so I hope you just keep that in mind. Del Mar, happy birthday to you. God bless you. And I want to also say happy birthday to Bill Hooper. Bill anchors the back corner on this aisle right here on the right. Right by here. Stand up, Bill. Stand up, Bill. Today, Bill's 92 years old. Whenever I learned that Del Mar's birthday had a birthday today, I just wanted to know, because I knew this already about Bill, and I just wondered if you were older than Bill, but I guess not. Oh, my. All right. It's good to have that. Okay. It's good to have the Ellisons here. I have no idea where they are now, but... Oh, I'm back there. Okay, Roger and Judy Ellison, lifelong friends. Good to have them here. And what a blessing to have them down from New York. And good to have them be with us for a few weeks here. What a delight. Oh, let's see. We got some other folks visiting. I know. Good to see Mary back in service. And let's see. We also have, well, I guess that's it as far as what I have here. But good to see John Cordes back in service and able to be here and up and moving around. And that's good. Glad Tom's here today. Had some surgery this week and some tests. We'll know Friday how it went. If they wait till Friday to tell you, it's good news. If they call you before that, it's bad news. Okay. But John had 65 biopsies, and all of them came back negative. And that's, yeah, we're thankful Lord for that. Well, I'm just delighted to see you here today, and I hope you'll enjoy the service. I want you to turn to number 329. Tonight we have the Lord's Supper. This is the fifth Sunday, and so we have the Lord's Supper in the service this evening, and I hope you'll be back for that, but we're even singing songs that relate to that this morning. It's a big event. The Lord's Supper is a big event here at our church, and so we're singing Power in the Blood. I think it'd be good, let's stand again, if you would, and Brother Mark, come lead us in.
329.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily in praise and to sing?
ushers come forward, if you will. Isn't that a great song to sing? That's just a good song to sing. And what a wonderful truth to sing also. Brother Clausen, it might interest you to know that on Thursday night here at our church, we do a program called Children's Music Academy. And we have a group of young people that are in Children's Music Academy learning to play the harp. And they are normally in Super Church, but some of them skipped Super Church this morning to come hear you play. And I think you've inspired them already. And I'm not going to, I will point them out. There's four of them sitting right here together. Three. You're playing guitar. Okay. And then I think maybe even in Founders Conference, we're going to have those on the woodwinds are going to be, maybe they'll have something ready. And you can tell them I announced it, so they better be ready. They better be ready in Founders Conference on the closing night on that Thursday night. And what a wonderful opportunity the kids have in that. And it's a marvelous, marvelous thing. Well, we come to this time that we worship God in this way. May He be pleased with that we do. And may we be blessed. And no doubt we will be when we obey Him in this matter. Father, I pray right now for this offering. I pray, Father, that it will be approved by You. Lord, You stood and watched at the temple offering as people gave. And You watched not how much they gave, but how much they had left over after they gave. Father, I pray that what we do today will be not only that that You've appointed unto us to do, but Father, we'll give beyond that out of love for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. signed the deed with his atoning blood and ever lives to make his promise good. When hosts of sin come marching in to make a second claim, they all march out at the mention of his name. You have the words in the bulletin if you need it. We like to have them there so you can take them home with you if you don't know them. But let's stand together, if you will. He signed the deed with his atoning blood. He signed the deed with his atoning blood. Ever lives, make his promise good. When hosts of sin come marching in, make a second claim. Greet those around you. Welcome one another. If you're contagious, just fist bump or elbow or something. Okay? Seated when you get back to your place. Those of you that are doing Search the Scriptures, the new study guide and meditation guide are out. And if you would like to get those again this month, many of you read Hebrews chapter 11 and you meet tomorrow night for discussion. I had a group meet on Friday night and then you have a group tomorrow night. I guess it was Saturday, Friday morning you met and then tomorrow night. And I hope you'll get those. And go on, finish out the book of Hebrews. Finish the book of Hebrews with chapter 11, with chapters 12 and 13. Some of you are interested, would like to go to the Holy Land again. I've got a group leaving in March, but you're too late for that. And so the next group's in November. We're going 10 days to Israel with a three-day optional tour into Petra and over into Jordan. Visit Mount Nebo. And some unique things. If you're interested in that, I'll put those brochures here at the front, and you may pick one of those up. And if we run out of these, I do have more, but I encourage you to get your registration in as quickly as possible, because there's $100 a person discount if you register before the end of February. And so just look at that and see what you'd like to do and enjoy that. I'm going to come back in a moment with the message from the Word of God today, but I want you to hear a couple more songs. I'll shorten my sermon today, okay? But you enjoy the Colossians as they play.
Now, your church, I have seen a lot already in this few minutes. Pastor, wasn't that great that somebody even clapped there? It's awesome, brothers and sisters, to stand in front of people like you. You have no idea what a privilege it is for somebody like me standing here and sharing my story once again in a few seconds in my language number 6. I grew up at home with Plattdeutsch, German in school and church, with 2 Indian tribes. They were my neighbors and my best friends. I learned their language. I went to the Paraguayan Music Academy, graduated as a music teacher in the Spanish language. 1986, I came to Canada and had to learn the worst language in the world, English. Now I'm working on number 7, I told the Australian people, Australian English. And that's kind of like a little bit different again. This is such a privilege. When I was 7 years old, in the jungles of South America, long before those fancy missionaries came, my dad one day came home with a beautiful shiny box. He said, "Children, I have bought a radio, and tonight we will hear music." For the first time in our lives, including my mom and dad, we ever heard music from a little radio box. Our house at the time had just a grass roof, mud walls, mud floors. Our house had 2 rooms. We slept on one side, eating on one side, and the other side, we lived outside the house usually, because this is how our life was. And I remember that little radio, when my dad turned a knob on it, we heard the most amazing noise a human being can hear on this earth. Music. And then somebody spoke to us in our own Plattdeutsch language. And guess where it came from? HCJB, World Radio, from Quito, Ecuador, beaming it to the southern hemisphere. It was the only station we could hear for many years to come. It was the only information my family received from the outside world. I always dreamt later, will I ever meet people who can make a radio? Will I ever meet people like that? Here I am. I am looking at them. These are the people who put money into the offering plate. These are the people who prayed for missionaries. These are the people who became missionaries so that we could receive it at the other end. Today, through the grace of God, we have done hundreds and hundreds of fundraisers all over the globe for Reach Beyond, Transworld Radio, Far East Broadcasting, New Tribes Mission, which is the headquarters here in Sanford, Florida. What an awesome God. We have 2 sons. They are 18 and 20. Our youngest one just graduated a few days ago from high school. The day after he graduated from high school — we homeschooled our children, by the way, for years — the day after he finished high school, he left for Australia, to Melbourne, Australia, to work for HCJB World Radio, programming for them. All full circle. You put those missionaries into my soul, and my Savior, Jesus Christ my Lord, blessed it, so that I can stand in front of people like you today and share my story. So if you want to hear the whole story, please come. The next content, I will share it in details, and that will make sense. Now, it really doesn't make sense to you. Our last song, "Because He Lives," you and I will see tomorrow. God bless you.
Well, I think they ought to be here just every Sunday, don't you? I think that'd be a good idea, yeah. Okay. Rogers are out of town this weekend, and so the harp over here is sitting vacant, so we'll just tell Michelle, if you're going to be out of town, this is what we get to replace you when you're out of town. Oh, yes, so that'll straighten her out. Okay. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to three passages of Scripture. I look down here and I notice, now that the harp is over, the four little girls that were over here hearing the harp have left. I'll have a word to say about my granddaughter about not staying to hear her papaw preach. The first one is in 2 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 10 through 13, these four verses. Then we'll go to Matthew chapter 24. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, don't miss the thief in the night. Let that detract from the fact that the day of the Lord will come. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Don't you long for a time when in the earth there will dwell righteousness? Things done right. Verse 36 of Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour our Lord doth come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, immediately following the great passage concerning the order of the second coming of Christ at the end of chapter 4, chapter 5 begins, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. I want to say, yeah, I do have a need for that. I want that. No, he said, you don't need that. You don't need that. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, now notice the pronoun they, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, now it goes from others to us, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, very quickly, I want to share with you this question. What's going to happen? We've come down to it now. This is 2016. It seems as if the atmosphere in our world is one of expectancy that something's going to happen. It seems like a cataclysmic event is on the near horizon. Maybe climactic event. Some people talk about, it's a very popular term, not used as much now as it was just a few years ago, but it is a familiar term to us. Armageddon. Another term that is used is the end of the world. The end of the world. You wonder how far can this go? You can have whatever view you want about climate change, and I'm glad it's changing back a little warmer this week. You can talk about global warming. You can talk about those things. You can talk about the pollution that is in the air in our world. You understand this world was not built to last forever, any more than a physical body is built to last forever, any more than your car is built to last forever. It works for a while, and then, boy, you know, now I remember whenever I was a kid, my daddy had a car, a 49 Chevy. I don't know how I remember that. I wasn't born till 68, but, you know, but he had a 49 Chevy. And people would come to look at that car, to see the speedometer, because it had 73,000 miles on it. 73,000 miles now, cars just getting broken in. There would be a number of you here. I dare say there'd be a number of you here with a car that has 300,000 miles on it. That's rare, but not uncommon. That's, you know, that happens in this day. But it wears out. This earth is designed to wear out. What's going to happen? Financially. There's a financial crisis in this world. In the last week, a couple of countries in Asia have gone into negative interest. Now, I'm trying to figure out how that works. That means if I go down to the bank and I put money in the bank, I'm going to pay them to keep it for me. politically, there's uprisings all over this world. In religion, it's an unheard of thing that the Pope visits a mosque and he goes to a Jewish synagogue. Unheard of thing. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Now, Paul writing to Thessalonians, he said, you're not children of the dark, you're children of the light. He said, now you don't have need that I write to you about this. He said, you just need to know that he's coming. That's what you need to know. Now, we do not know the day or the hour, Jesus said in Matthew 24. We don't know the day or the hour. But he said, there is no excuse for your not being ready whenever it happens. There's no excuse for that. You cannot say, well, I just didn't know. Oh, yeah, you know. You know. You don't have need to be written to about that. You don't have need to be preached to about that. You know that. We're not children of the darkness. We're children of the light. Governments around this world are spying on each other. What would you expect? Isn't that normal? Of course it's normal. I think that one of the reasons that airplanes that are lost just vanish, seems like. I think that countries know how to find those things. But they don't want to reveal the technology that they have to find those things. Because they want to keep that secret. With everything we know about what happens with the government watching us, can you imagine how long they were doing that before you knew they were doing that? Do you think that ever since cell phones have come on the scene that they have not been keeping records of cell phone conversations? Well, of course not. Now, if we know these things now, can you imagine the things we don't know now? If you've been to a doctor in the last 5 years, it would not be strange, and we may ourselves be deceived, that if they can put a chip in your dog and find your dog when it's lost or your cat, you may have one in you. So, oh, they wouldn't do that. Well, they wouldn't do a lot of things that's been done. Big Brother is watching you. What's going to happen? Well, I'd never get one of those things in me. I'll tell you right. You may have one right now and not know it. If you've had surgery, you don't know what you've got in you. I mean, surgeons have been known to leave instruments in a person and have to go back in and get them out. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Very quickly, I'm just going to give you four things that are familiar passages of Scripture that you need to know, that we need to have in our hearts as a perspective concerning the second coming of Christ. The first of all is this. This expectation of the second coming of Christ is, first of all, a happy expectation. It seems that some believers in the Lord Jesus Christ speak of the second coming of Christ in fearful terms. Oh, the Lord must be coming. Oh my, what are we going to do? We're going to go be with Him. That's what we're going to do. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, we look for that blessed hope. Now, hope in the Word of God is an expectation. It's not a wish. It's an expectation. It's not something like, well, I wish that sometime the Lord, oh, He's coming. It's an expectation. Look forward to that expectation. And it's not a dreaded expectation. It's a blessed expectation. It's a joyful thing. Jesus is coming, is coming, is coming. It may be tomorrow. It may be today. Maybe the trumpets sound. Maybe the angels shout, then come up higher. The Savior will say. Now, some people say, oh, I wish the Lord would come today. And that's because your house payment's due tomorrow. And you're not so excited about His appearing. You're excited about your disappearing. But it is a blessed hope. It is a happy expectation that Jesus is coming. There is an excitement about that, and it should be an excitement about it. The people at Thessalonica were so excited about it that Paul had to write to them and say, settle down now. They were quitting work. They were doing everything else. They were just sitting down and said, well, the Lord's coming today. No sense doing anything. No sense going to work. No sense going to school. Now, I'd like that. But, no sense doing anything. The Lord's going to come. Probably He'll come today. Now, He may come today. But the happiness and the joy of that coming does not relieve us from our responsibility. Nor does the joy of His coming relieve us of our responsibility in who we are. In our place where God has put us. This is 2016, leap year, election year, major election. If you're not registered to vote, shame on you. Register. Some of you have turned 18 since last election. You're young. What you're voting on is going to affect you unless Jesus comes. It's going to affect where you are 20 years from now. It's going to affect how much tax you pay. Register. Vote. You say, well, preacher, how ought we vote? You register and ask God about it. There's no sense asking God about it if you don't register. You register and ask God about it. He'll let you know. He'll let you know. He'll take care of that. But register. Be part of the process. It is a happy expectation. But it does not relieve us from the present responsibility that we have. We must do that. We must do that. In light of the second coming. Now, the second coming is not only a happy expectation, but it is a comforting expectation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, we read chapter 5. In chapter 4, he finishes with, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, in chapter 4, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, as others which have no hope. We believe, and we do believe, that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Christ will God bring with Him. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And He comes to the end, He says, comfort one another with these words. Those of you who have lost loved ones, those of you who have had loved ones precede you in death,
Comfort one another with these words. These are words of comfort. There's a comfort in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. See what's going to happen? The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured. Raptured. That's the word, caught up, harpazo. It's caught up together with them. We'll be caught up with them. The loved ones that have gone before, and the loved ones of theirs that went before them, and the loved ones of theirs who went before them, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. Now, I'm going to stay here as long as I can. You know, if I have a pain, I'm going to try to fix it. If I have a cold, I'm going to try to get rid of it. If I have the flu, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to sweat it out. If I have pneumonia, I'm going to get some antibiotics or whatever they do. You know, I'm going to try to stay here as long as I can. But don't plug me into anything, okay? Now don't say, well, I'm finally glad he's on his last breath now. Don't do that. Don't do that. But I'm not interested in staying here. I'm not going to turn my face to the wall as Hezekiah did and say, oh, God, I've served you. Oh, God, I've served you. I've loved you. I've tried to be faithful to you. God, I've done your will. I've tried to do what you had for me to do. I've preached your word. I've tried to win other people to Christ. Oh, Lord, let me stay here on earth. No, if God wants me in heaven, I'm going my way. But the second coming of Christ is a comforting hope. I look across this congregation today and I see widows here who are too young to be widows. Let me comfort you from the Word of God with the promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. I see young people here today who don't have a father on this earth. And they're too young to not have a father on this earth. Let me comfort your hearts, young people. Jesus is coming. He's going to put it all back together, right? The way it ought to be. It's a comforting expectation. Number three I give you. It is a settling expectation. Now the resurrection chapter is 1 Corinthians 15. And after coming down through the beginning of the chapter, whenever he talks about the resurrection of Christ, he gives the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he argues the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he argues the importance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he begins discussing the matter of our resurrection. And he says, this corruptible must put on incorruption. It has to do that. That is a must that has to happen. If we're going to spend eternity with God, this corruptible must be changed. It's got to put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then, when that happens, shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in
verse 58, he says the last verse, summing up the whole chapter, he says, "Wherefore, in light of this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Be steadfast. That means what it says in the next word. Unmovable. Would to God we could get people to get in the right place and be steadfast. The problem is we have people who get in the wrong place and are steadfast. Now, we sing the little old song we used to sing, I don't know when I've heard it the last time. I shall not be moved. But too many people are in the wrong place singing that song. I mean, they've gotten themselves cattywampus with God and everybody else. And they say, "I will not be moved. If you're going to get along with me, you're going to have to be just like I am." Well, I'd rather be like God. Do you know what happens if we're all like Him? Then we'll all be like each other. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing thing. It's a marvelous statement from geometry and from deductive reasoning. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. And if we're like Him, if I'm like Him, and Becky's like Him, we'll be like each other. Isn't that amazing? So if she's not like me, and I'm like Him, ooh, yeah, and everybody knows you're going to turn that around. I know that, okay? Be steadfast. It's a hope. It's an expectation that gives you something to settle on. Settle on that. Jesus is coming. Therefore, I'm not going to be moved around by every whim. I'm not going to be changed by every wind of doctrine. I'm not going to be changed by every fad that comes through. Now, if you need to change to get consistent with the Word of God, change to get consistent with the Word of God. And then get in line with the Word and don't be moved from that. The fourth thing, it's a purifying expectation. In John chapter 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We haven't seen it yet. But we know this, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him, everyone who has this expectation, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If a person is living an ungodly life and says they believe that Jesus could come at any moment, they're either ignorant or lying. Because they cannot be found in the same person. If I believe Jesus is coming this moment, the next moment, the next moment, if I believe He could come at any moment, I will be at that moment as He wants me to be at every moment. Doing good deeds, sowing good seeds, leaving life's follies behind me. faithful each day, quick to obey. That's how I want my Lord to find me. No threat, no intimidation, unless it needs to be. But are you right now, as you would like to be, if the Lord should come this moment? Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. There may be some here who said, "Preacher, I do not know that I'm a born-again child of God. I'm not sure of that. I don't want the Lord to come without my being sure that I'm saved." Would you raise your hand? I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that. But I'm concerned about that. Would you just raise your hand and put it back down? I may see it, I may not. The fact that I see it or not is not the important thing. The important thing is that you respond to God. If you're here today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're not living for God as you should be living for God, may I implore you, on the basis of the coming of Christ, to be right. To be an obedient child. To be in the place doing the things. Don't let Jesus come if you have God's money in your account. Don't let Jesus come and find you with a dusty Bible. Don't let Jesus come and find you with unbended knees. Don't let Jesus come and find you with no tracks in your pocket. Not because you've given them all out, but because you've never put them there. Are you ready for His coming? If God has spoken to your heart, if you need to come today and have someone help you trust Christ as your Savior, we give you that opportunity. You say, "Well, what do I do?" If you just walk down here to the front and I meet you, or one of the other pastors meet you, and say, "Why have you come today?" You say, "I need to be saved." We can take it from there. We can take it from there. If you're here and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, but there are things in your life that are absolutely not right with God, that you don't want there when He comes, why don't you come, confess that as sin, and set out to live for God? Every day with this expectation. There may be some here that need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, or there may be perhaps someone here that needs to come to unite in fellowship with this church. We're going to ask the instruments to play, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." If God has spoken to your heart and you need to respond at this time, this is it right now. This is the time to respond. walked down here and I said, why have you come? She said, I want to be saved. Take care of that. Take care of that. We can get you right to the one who saved you. We can get you right to him. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you so much. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Tonight's the Lord's Supper. Do you remember when it was supper time? Mama would call you in. Before you sit down at the table, we don't do that much anymore. It used to be whenever it was supper time, Mama would step out, holler, come to supper, and everybody come in and sit down at the table. Now everybody runs to get in the car. But before you sit down at the table, she'd say, get cleaned up. Wash your hands. Get cleaned up. We're going to come to the Lord's table tonight. Okay? Get cleaned up. Get cleaned up. Father, thank you for the wonderful expectation of Jesus coming back to this earth. Thank you for the good time we've enjoyed in your house today. Thank you for the good music with the instruments and the choir and the congregational singing. And then, Lord, the special music on the harp. What a wonderful blessing to have the Clausens here today. I ask you to bless them. Bless them on their way to the service tonight. Watch over them, protect them. Take care of them, keep them safe. Bring them back to us for the concert. We ask you to bless in the service tonight. May we be moved toward you and may Jesus Christ be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Are there any announcements you have? Youth activity tonight after the church service, going over to Brother Aaron's house. 6 o'clock tomorrow night, Search the Scriptures, Bible study discussion. Here on campus.
Tithing records are available.
Tithing records are available at the back. That will keep us, that will save us. It used to save us 15 cents. Saves us a bunch more than that now, doesn't it? What's going to happen? Pretty soon it's going to cost a dollar to mail a letter. God bless you. You're dismissed. Stop by the table at the back, meet the Clausens, and they have some CDs, DVDs, and you may be interested in having some of that music to take home with you. Well, if you were watching the entire service this morning, you enjoyed the harp. Wow. Now, he's going to be back on February the 18th on Thursday night. And the whole concert will be live streamed, so you want to mark that down if you normally don't join us on Thursday night. Thursday night, February the 18th, will be a wonderful time to be part of the service here and enjoy the concert. Well, it's been a good day in the Lord's house. We thank you. Thankful for the young lady that got saved this morning, and we rejoice with her and thank for the Lord's presence. Folks, Jesus is coming, and I hope that you're ready. And if you're not ready for his coming, give us a call. Our church number is there on the screen, on the website, and I want you to feel free to call us. But it's been a delight to have you tonight as the Lord's Supper. Be with us at 6 o'clock if you can at all. I trust you have a good day. God bless you.